You're listening to SpursCast, episode 483. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of the SpursCast. Joining me on this episode is Project Spurs' Michael DeLeon. Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm actually pretty happy. I tuned into an All-Star game last night, and I got like a playoff game, what it seemed like. So that was pretty cool to see, but ready for the rest of the season to start now.
Yeah, but on Twitter, I saw that you weren't a big fan of the intros with Kevin Hart.
That was 30 minutes. So I was like, I think I tweeted that's 30 minutes of my life I'll never get back.
Yeah, you did. That's how I felt exactly the same way. One of the parts, though, that did make me laugh out of the few parts in that whole monologue was the part about LeBron having name tags for his new teammates.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah,
but outside of that, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't understand the music. I didn't understand the choreography. I was lost there. They could do a lot more with that 30 minutes that they used of our lives, like you mentioned. Okay, Mike, so let's go ahead and get into the SpursCast episode 483. It's been a while since I last recorded. You know, the Spurs are obviously on the All-Star break, so they're going to have some time off here to rest and recover, as are all the other NBA teams. So Mike, last time I recorded, I had Jeff Platt from Spectrum News on this show. And we had both we went through the games that we predicted the Spurs how they would go in their most recent four games. And I was actually right on the money. I said they go 1-3. I just thought that schedule was really grueling for them without Kawhi and Rudy Gay. Jeff thought they'd go 2-2, but they ended up going 1-3. So let's do a quick little recap here, Mike. Last Wednesday in Phoenix against the Suns, the Spurs beat the Suns by 48 points. That was just an easy blowout for them. They really embarrassed Phoenix there. Then on Saturday, they lost to the Golden State Warriors by 17. And this is an interesting game because San Antonio did at one point have a double-digit lead, but they obviously didn't have the weapons to keep up with Golden State for a full 48 minutes. Then on Monday last week, they lost by 2 to the Utah Jazz without LaMarcus Aldridge. Then on Tuesday. So Monday was Utah, and then Tuesday against Denver, they lost by 8 points, again, without LaMarcus Aldridge. So kind of just putting all those four games into a summary, what were your takeaways there?
Yeah, I mean, with the Suns, they got a great start for the, really road trip or whatever, and Aldridge was great, and they just couldn't miss anything. But then, you know, obviously it got real quick with the Warriors. And it's like you said, I mean, they got off to a really good start. They had a 10-point lead. But then it's one of those things where, the Golden State Warriors are going to catch up, especially when they're healthy. And so they just couldn't hold that lead anymore. You know, the other two games, it was just, you know, that Jazz game, they probably should have won. But, you know, if you didn't know who Donovan Mitchell was before the game, I think you found out pretty quickly. And then the Nuggets was just, you know, they had some pieces out. It was nice to see LaVern have a big game. I think that was kind of neat. It was like the LaVern and Joker show, it seemed like, for a while there. But what I noticed, from the games that they lost, is it's like they started off the shooting, started off really well, but then over time, it flatlined, especially outside shooting. I think they shot 25% or something around there for the Nuggets game, and that was kind of the common thread. Even with the Warriors game, they started off really hot. I think they're 50% at one time, and then that again nosedived in, and that has probably a lot to do with the defense Golden State. But you know, we're starting to see that, I guess, starting to connect the dots there.
Yeah, I think one guy you mentioned there was LaVern. He had a really big game against the Nuggets. You know, I went back and looked at his stats, and I saw 26-11. Victoria Villarreal actually wrote that up on Project Spurs. And when she wrote that, I was like, wait, is that a mistake? And then I had to go back and look. I'm like, wow, he really did have 26-11, which is a career high. But, you know, he was obviously a beneficiary of LaMarcus Aldridge being out. He was one of the main guys the Spurs could go to. And you know, against Golden State, I did not expect them to win. I was very surprised again that they took a double-digit lead. And this has actually been a common trend for the last 2.5 years, whether it's regular season or playoffs, where without Kawhi Leonard, this Spurs team for some reason has a way to get an early lead on Golden State. And then they can't sustain it, especially without Kawhi. But, you know, that's a good trend for them when they do get Kawhi back, is that, hey, this is still showing, even without their best player, they're still getting these weird double-digit leads on Golden State consistently. Now, the other two games, you know, without LaMarcus, I didn't think they'd have the horses for the full 48. And you saw that where eventually Denver and Utah both you know, made their comeback and took the lead over from San Antonio and put them away. They just didn't have the scoring power without Aldridge. And so I think that, you know, going forward, those are going to be some of the key teams they still have to play down the stretch of the season. And that's good that LaMarcus should be there for them. So, you know, you can really look more so to the winning side for San Antonio in those matchups. Mike, was there anything away from, that you took away from the All-Star game? Obviously, Aldridge only played 4 minutes. He had said that he was trying to lighten his load because he was trying to basically get healthy. He only recorded one block in 4.5 minutes. Like you mentioned, Team LeBron won 148 to 145.
I didn't really expect anything. It wasn't exactly like the Jimmy Butler situation or anything like that, but I didn't expect him to play a whole lot. I mean, he had already said that, you know, that he wants to be healthy, and I kind of like the attitude he took where, you know, he was more concerned. And I see this as the actual reason that he was, you know, he wanted to be healthy and be ready to come back at the end of this week. And so, like I said, I didn't expect much. I think for Spurs fans, like, you kind of have come to, like, expect this from, like, All-Star games. You don't see a whole ton of logic. It doesn't really, like, it doesn't really fit into, like, their style or their personality. When you saw Tim Duncan, I mean, he did like, an MVP or whatever, but it was just, like, nobody watches an All-Star game to see, like, four down or a lot of these. Just, like, you know, throw the ball down, let those guys go to work. They want to see all of the, like, high-flying plays. So, I didn't expect a lot. And so, it was kind of pretty much exactly as, maybe not exactly in terms of minutes, but, you know, it was pretty close there.
Yeah, I mean, they've done this, like you said, with Tim Duncan. They've done this in the past with Kawhi Leonard as well, where they don't really play them a lot of minutes. And so that's more so, I think, the coaches on the other team, like Dwayne Casey was Aldridge's coach for that event. I think he kind of understood from Pop and Aldridge, hey, we want to keep his minutes down. And, you know, Spurs fans were giving Aldridge some heat for those last two games because he sat out with the knee injury. They wanted to make sure that he rested. And they were saying, why is he playing the All-Star game? Which, look what he did. He just shot a few layups and warm-ups, and then he played 4 minutes. He didn't do much. You know, he made sure he stayed healthy. You know, Jimmy Butler didn't play at all. So, you know, it's just you got to let him be out there, get his shine, get that moment for himself, because, you know, he did have a great season to earn that recognition. You know, I was very doubtful that he could return to that level of play. And now you look at him and he's definitely an All-NBA player midway through the season at the All-Star break. So, you know, I think it was very deserving of Aldridge to go out there to L.A. and have some fun and be with those All-Stars. Okay, Mike, let's go ahead and get into our topics for the show. We have four of them here. Our first one is return for Kawhi Leonard or Rudy Gay just yet. So Tom Osborne of the Express News spoke with R.C. Buford on Friday in Los Angeles, and Buford gave him a few quotes when Osborne asked about Rudy Gay and Kawhi's returns. He basically said for both of them, there's still no firm timeline, were his actual words. He basically said they were aiming for Gay to come back after the All-Star break, but even that still needs to be cleared by the doctors. And with Kawhi, he just basically said, you know, whenever he responds well to the treatment that they have him on, that's when he'll eventually, you know, you'll see the positive signs. So Mike, with one other player that mentioned this was they asked Aldridge on Saturday, you know, how confident are you that Kawhi's going to come back? And he just said, I don't know. Now that could mean that, you know, he obviously has no actual understanding because he's not a doctor. He doesn't probably sit in on their medical personnel, their assessments of Kawhi. But just overall, you know, still no answers here on Kawhi and Gay. What are your impressions here?
Yeah, as soon as I heard that quote, I was okay, here comes like everybody reading into that. I just had a feeling that was going to happen. But, you know, I've heard from some people that say that they think or that apparently Rudy was like slated for you know, the game this week or maybe even early next week. We'll see. That I saw some video of him working out prior to the Warriors game, and he looked pretty good. But obviously, just running down the sideline is a lot different from game action. So we'll see what goes on there. I think, you know, just you gotta stay on the safe side there. Kawhi, I really have no idea. I have no idea what kind of shape his you know, his injury is in, how much he's recovered, you know, if it's reacting the way they expect. So I'm not exactly surprised. I mean, I think people have tried to put these timelines and without actually knowing, like, without it actually coming from the team and saying, okay, well, maybe after All-Star break. I mean, I think that was a case like with Rudy, but with Kawhi, I mean, we really have no idea right now. So, obviously, it's going to make for a tough way to end the season. I mean, if they can get Rudy back sooner than later, then that'll help because he can have that depth at three that they've been missing. But I'm not exactly surprised.
Okay, I want to ask you this, though. I kind of mentioned this to the last two guests, which was, I think, Tom Petrini and Jeff Platt on the last few episodes. Is there a number of games that they need to have Kawhi back in your mind before they just punt the season, basically just shut him down for good? Don't even bring him back. Is there, because obviously when they come back on Friday, should I say, there's going to be 23 games left until the playoffs. What is the no? Is there a number of games for you that they think they need to bring him back by?
I mean, honestly, it's 23 games. Is that's already cutting it really close. So, I mean, it's got to be pretty soon, I would think. I mean, I hate to, like, just give a number out there because I'm really just guessing. But it's not just him being healthy and going out there. I mean, we've seen a lot of changes with LaMarcus and what he's done this season. And, you know, how much the offense has changed because he is now that first priority. So, it would involve putting him out there, you know, them getting that rapport and the rest of the team kind of, you know, filling in those holes and trying to get on one page. So it's not just, you know, the talent alone, having that talent out there to score and defend or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I really do think they need as many games as they can get. You know, I think it's got, you know, I think it's got to be pretty soon. It's got to be, like, within the next 10 games or so. It'd be hard to go into the postseason with him just playing a few games.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like I told Jeff last week, Jeff Platt, I think it's 20 games is like the main area where you want to try to get him back, and that makes it a March 2nd return. And then, like, you know, if you're really pushing it, I'd say 15, and that's kind of like really pushing it. Yeah. You can't get a good sample size because, you know, in those last like 5 games of the season, Pop's going to start, you know, I don't know, if depending on where they're at in the playoff positioning, which we'll talk about in a little bit, Pop may try to rest a few games, especially down the stretch there like he likes to do before the playoffs begin. So, you know, I just don't know, you know, if they're going to have enough time to bring him back. And like you, I agree with you where they're not, if he's not healthy by the playoffs, and let's just say that, you know, his timeline's finally ready to come back in round one, I don't think they'd take that risk with him. They'd probably just play the season out, with Aldridge as their main go-to guy and maybe Gay if he's back. And, you know, Pop's actually mentioned already, that this is not, you know, getting Kawhi back is probably not off the table where it may not happen. You know, that day that they had to address the whole rumors about how he wanted out of San Antonio, Pop did say that, you know, in the past we've the Spurs have been cautious with Tim Duncan where they held him out of a playoff series. So for Pop to mention that is telling, maybe gives us a little sign here that they are in the back of their minds saying, hey, if he's not ready by this point, they're just not going to bring him back, because obviously they can give him that Supermax this coming summer, which is a 5-year deal. So they want him healthy for those full 5 years rather than just, you know, this coming postseason. Let's go into our second topic, Mike, which is the trade deadline did pass. Now, the Spurs, we had addressed this on last week's podcast was that the Spurs had interest in Willie Hernan Gomez, who got sent to the Hornets, and also Stanley Johnson, who ended up staying in Detroit. But then on the morning of the trade deadline, another name popped up, and that was Avery Bradley. Mark Stein of the New York Times reported that the Spurs had interest in Avery Bradley for Danny Green in a first-round pick. Nothing ever came into fruition because obviously he didn't get moved, neither to Danny Green. But my two questions for you, Mike, are: do you think Bradley's a target for San Antonio this summer, seeing as how they were looking at him? He's a little bit younger than Danny Green. And also, do you think Danny Green's going to opt in or out of his $10 million player option? And it's kind of interesting that he just switched agencies to Roc Nation. So question one: do you think the Spurs will target Avery Bradley this summer as a free agent? And question two, do you think Green opts in or out?
I mean, I think Avery Bradley is definitely a player that the Spurs, I think especially Pop, would like. I mean, I've followed him since he was at with Texas, and I've always liked what he did in the, you know, defense side of the ball. But at the time of the whole trade, Dallas was like, okay, well, basically you're trading Danny and a pick for a player that's probably going to end up doing the, you know, he's probably about the same level defensively, I think, as Danny, and maybe he can score more. So, but it was still, then adding that first round pick was a little rough at the time. So, I mean, I think that a lot's going to depend on what they do with him opting in or out. I mean, that Roc Nation changeover, when it happened, because it happened during the season, not after the season, kind of makes me wonder. But, you know, it's just one of those things that I think a lot of pieces or a lot of things have to come in play for any of those things to move. I mean, will he opt in? I think that for him, that's probably his best bet. I think unless he has a deal with the Spurs where maybe they need to cut salary and they work out a deal with him to give him a lengthier contract in return for, you know, cutting some salary, that's like the only real reason I see him opting out, even with the change in agent. So, that's a tricky one for sure. I mean, Bradley is younger, but I don't know if you can really play him against threes too much, where I feel a little more comfortable with the Danny against threes or even guys like Durant. So it's a tough one. It's going to be an interesting summer, sure.
Yeah, I think that the whole thing for me, for my takeaway, is that if Green, I think he's kind of, Bradley's more of like a backup plan, where if Green opts out and, you know, leaves in free agency, or his next contract would cost too much, I think San Antonio would look at Avery Bradley as that replacement for him in free agency. But, you know, Green, I for him and Rudy Gay, I thought both of them were going to opt in this coming summer, just because, you know, the whole market is very limited this summer. There's a lot of teams that have a lot of cap space. I think, you know, in an article by The Ringer as of today, which is a Monday, they projected that only like seven teams are going to have over $10 million in cap space. So there's not a lot of teams that are going to be going after a 30-year-old wing and Danny Green, despite him being an all defensive, you know, level player and good 3-point shooter. So I'm not sure, but this whole Roc Nation thing did throw a little wrench in here, where is that new agency telling him, you know, you can get more money on the market than San Antonio? So I'm not sure there. So I think, again, I'd say that if Green opts out, I think the Spurs would be a little bit more aggressive in going after Avery Bradley this summer. Let's go to our third topic, Mike, and that's the buyout market. So some players are already getting bought out from their contracts. One such player that San Antonio had interest in was Marco Bellinelli, former Spur, but he ended up signing with the Sixers. Joe Johnson and Brandon Wright were also bought out by their teams, and now they've both signed with Houston. So, Mike, here's how we're going to do this buyout market question. I'm going to read you some names, and you tell me pass or interesting, okay, for the Spurs' sake. Ready? So let's do this little game here. First player, Derrick Rose. Pass or
pass? Got a long-time point guard right now. He's injured, so.
Yeah, I know. What's funny though is that, remember in the summer, the Spurs reportedly had interest in him. Yeah, so yeah. I'd say pass as well. Brandon Jennings, pass or maybe?
That's another thing where there's a long-time. I'm definitely interested in him, and it seems like he's a player that's got some talent. So I'd be interested, but I don't know how to do it with the current guards they already have.
Yeah, I think pass, just because you're right. They have too many guards right now. I mean, there's not enough playing time for some of them, especially when Rudy Gay and Kawhi get back. Some of those guys have to go down to play at the shooting guard position, back like Bryn Forbes and Manu and Danny Green. Next player, Mike, Ty Lawson, pass or interesting?
That's pass for me as well. Again, it's all the same kind of position, and they've got a lot to work out that point guard.
Okay, Tony Allen.
Definitely interested, just because of his defense. I think even he's a vet already, he's an older guy. I think him having that, you know, being that lockdown defender, may not be the same defender than he was like 2 or 3 years ago, but he's still out there and he's still a guy that could be valuable in the playoffs, especially if they have injuries to Kawhi, and never know what the story is with Rudy as well.
Yeah, I think that if it's a concern where you don't think you're going to get Kawhi back for the remainder of the season, I think yes, take him. I mean, look at taking Tony Allen. But if it's not, if he's going to come back, they're thinking he will, I think pass, just because Allen offensively, I think that's one of the biggest Spurs' biggest struggles is offense, and they're second defensively without him, and I just think that he wouldn't really bring too much offensively. Let's go to the big man department here, Andrew Bogut.
Man, I hadn't even thought of Bogut. I think I'd pass at this point. I want to see where things go with LaVerne. He played well at the end there, and I just want to see how that played out. I mean, he's top power, so, I mean, he'd be, you know, he and LaVerne would basically be fighting out for minutes, whatever minutes are at the backup spot.
Yeah, I'd pass as well, just because, like, you're right about first, LaVerne's playing a little bit better now. But also, the Spurs, Pop's just going small ball all the way in 2018. I mean, we've seen that he's playing a lot of lineups with just Aldridge at the five or Powell at the five. So I don't think I think Bogut would want to go to a place where he can be on a contender, where he's going to get some minutes, and I don't think San Antonio's that place. Last player, Mike, Boris Diaw.
I'm always interested when it comes to Boris. You know, I mean, just because he's got the whole corporate knowledge thing down, I mean, I'm not sure what playing shape he's in or whatever, but I think glue guys like that and guys that have chemistry with other players on the team, that can always help, especially for a playoff run.
Yeah, I would say he's interesting as well, just because you can play him at the 4 and 5, but I also think that his time in San Antonio is over, just because the writing was on the wall back in his last season with San Antonio. Remember that final playoff game against OKC? Pop didn't play him at all, and that kind of told you Boris's time in San Antonio's up. So I just think that there's something there where I don't think Pop would play him if the Spurs would have interested back in him.
Maybe they can just like get him on the cheap, and he can make some like espressos for everybody and
Yeah. Well, he'd be good for team chemistry, that's for sure, in that locker room. A lot of the guys like him, Boris. So SpursCast listeners, just remember that the buyout market, it's still kind of ongoing, where veteran players that get waived, they need to be waived before March 1st to be playoff eligible to sign with the contender. So there's still a few names maybe to keep out there, but I think most of the guys have already been bought out of the contracts that are going to maybe have a little bit of a difference to make. Okay, Mike, our last topic before we go to SpursCast Twitter questions is the Spurs' the ending to their schedule here. You know, I wrote up on analyzingtheleague.com that the Spurs have, out of the teams 3 through 10 in the West that are kind of fighting for playoff position, the Spurs have the toughest schedule of all of them. 18 of the Spurs' final 23 games are against teams that are 500 or above. That's again, like we just mentioned, without knowing if Kawhi and Rudy Gay are coming back or when they're coming back. My question to you, Mike, with knowing this, knowing that the toughness of their schedule, do you think? Well, here, I have two questions. Let me mix this up. Sorry. So right now they're projected to finish the season 49-33. Question one: do you think they do that, or they fall below? And then question two is: how far do you think they fall? Do you think they miss the playoffs? Do you think they kind of fall at the end of the bracket, or do you think they kind of stay in the third seed?
No, I mean, I think it'll probably be below the number you said. And honestly, I think there's going to be a lot of movement. I don't see them moving that far, but there is only, what, 3 games between third and eighth right now. So there's going to be, I think, a lot of movement towards the end of the season. And, you know, there's some teams that, like you said, with the records that aren't as tough. And I think I saw they have Golden State twice, Rockets twice, OKC a few times. I think Minnesota's still on their schedule a bit. So, I mean, it's not going to be easy, especially with players still out. And if you have to bring players back in, just working them back into the system. So, I mean, I could see them dropping to fifth pretty easily.
Okay, I'm kind of with you. I don't think they're going to get the 49 wins, even though they're projected to get there by the data without Kawhi and Rudy Gay. I just feel like in these last 2 months, teams have figured out the whole Aldridge-centric offense, where they know to basically double-team Aldridge and make somebody else beat them nightly, and it's not always coming to fruition for San Antonio. So I go below the 49 win mark, and like you, I think that they end up somewhere in like the 5th to 7th seed. I just don't, like, you know, they have one of the toughest schedules, and somebody like Utah, who's currently 10th, but they're only, like you mentioned, like a few losses back from San Antonio. They have like the easiest schedule to end the year. So some of these teams are going to play whoever has the easier teams are going to really benefit, because one, a lot of those bad teams right now are trying to jostle for best seeding. So they're going to kind of throw games, like you saw Phoenix there. It's just throwing games here. So basically if you play more bad teams, you're going to benefit from it. Whereas the Spurs only play 5 bad teams down the road. The rest of them are all really good teams. And so that's going to be tough for San Antonio. I can really see them slipping unless they get Kawhi and Rudy Gay back pretty soon. Okay, Mike, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by ADT. When it comes to something as important as your family's safety, you need real protection with ADT. What does real protection mean for you? Well, real protection means you can get all of the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT, combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You'll get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you, including 18,000 employees safeguarding you and your family, along with a connection to first responders. Your secure smart home includes everything from video doorbells and indoor and outdoor cameras to smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT Go app or the sound of your voice. You can also get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. Everything is custom designed to fit your home, all from the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can even get safety on the go, in the car, or when the kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. Ready to learn more? Visit ADT.com/podcast to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you.
Okay, thank you for tuning in to SpursCast, episode 483. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am joined by Michael DeLeon of ProjectSpurs.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at MDeLeon. Okay, Mike, our last segment will be the SpursCast Twitter questions. We only have one in this week. It comes from at Giant Steps. They ask, looks like teams aren't handing out money like the summer of 2016. Considering a borderline all-star and Lou Williams signed for $8 million annually, what is the likelihood guys like Danny Green and Rudy Gay opt out now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we discussed the Danny one. You know, I think that's, I don't think that really changes for me. I don't think he opts out. Rudy Gay, I don't, I, I also can't see him opting out. It doesn't make sense for him, especially since he's been injured for as long as he has. I don't know that other teams are going to be willing to take that risk with him, and they don't know where he is. I think earlier in the season, before he was injured, and how he was playing, then definitely that was more of an option where I think he would have. He might have opted out, but I think both players probably should and will opt in.
Okay, I'm on the Rudy part. I'm with you. I think he's going to opt in for two reasons. One, like you mentioned, his whole injury situation does not bode well for him on the free agent market this summer when teams are seeing he can only play healthy for 58% of his games. He has shown a little bit of being a third option, how he's kind of handled it, or second option, and you know it's about like 12 points a game. So I think that he would, just for security of another season with the Spurs, he would opt in. And then Danny Green, like I mentioned, that whole Roc Nation thing kind of just threw like a little wrench in there, where I'm not sure where his mind's at, or his agency's mind's at, in terms of, do they think he can get more money on the market this summer? Or do they think, this is $10 million pretty good for him now, and then just wait till next summer to kind of test the market again. So for now, I'd say they both opt in. And I think Danny Green will be looking forward toward next season. But we'll see, because it was interesting, like we mentioned, both of us, that the Spurs were looking at a replacement for him in Avery Bradley on the trade market. So maybe they had some sort of idea of where they think Green's going next year in their minds. So for now, I think that they're both going to opt in with the current cap situation. Okay, Mike, let's look ahead to now the Spurs' next two games. So they're obviously off till Friday, when they'll resume play in Denver against the Nuggets, who had just beat them. So the Nuggets right now, they're 32-26, sixth in the West. They are 7-3 in their last 10. They did beat the Spurs without Aldridge just recently before they went to All-Star break. Offensively, Denver is seventh in the league, 108.2 points per 100. Defensively, they're 22nd, 107.8 points per 100. Who do you have Friday night in Denver, Mike?
I keep tossing this one, quite a bit because we saw what they did, but then, you know, if Aldridge is there to, like, kind of stabilize,
Jokic.
If he's there to, I think, help with him, and he can contribute, I think they can get the win. But, I mean, Denver's a really good-looking team right now, and I think the move they made at the trade line was a smart one. So, I mean, this can really go either way, but I'm going to take the Spurs in this one just because they'll have that full week of rest and Aldridge will be back. So I've got this as a win.
Okay, I've got this as a win as well for two reasons here. One is that the Spurs played very well without Aldridge. They had a double-digit lead in that last loss against Denver. So I think that if Aldridge is there giving you, 18 to 20 points, they're okay sustaining that for the full 48. So, and then also because the Denver's defense, you saw that, like I've always mentioned on the Spurs cast this season, whenever the Spurs play a bottom 10 defense, they're usually pretty good because the offense is their one weakness. And if you're going to be a bad defense against them, they're just going to help them out in their favor. And so I'd say that statistically, everything points to the Spurs winning this matchup in Denver on Friday. Plus, the old guys like Parker and Manu and Powell, they've had, a week off of basketball. So it should be beneficial for them as well. Okay, Mike, then the last game of the Spurs' rodeo road trip wraps up on Sunday in Cleveland against the Cavs. The Cavs are 34-22, third in the East. Now, I'm only going to read you the data on their since they made the trade, because like we mentioned at the beginning, half their team got traded, so they're kind of like a new team. So they're 3-0 since the trade deadline with all these new players. Offensively, and it's a small sample size, only three games, they're first in scoring, 124.2 points per 100, and defensively, they're 12th at 108.1 points per 100. Again, that's only as of three games of data with this new squad. Who do you have on Sunday in Cleveland?
I'm just going to go with the Cavs on this one. I like the way that they're playing with the players they brought in. It seems like somebody injected something into them where they're playing, their attitude is completely different. I mean, they've won, I think, their last four, like you said, three with the new players. And I think they made a lot of improvements, and they got deeper because of those trades. And anytime you're playing against LeBron James, it's obviously, you never know how that'll go. But now that they've strengthened some positions, I think Cavs will take it.
Okay, I'm with you. I think I'm going to go with Cleveland for a few reasons here. The main one is that even though they don't have a lot of big guys right now because Kevin Love's injured, all they have is really Tristan Thompson and Larry Nance to throw at Aldridge, I just feel like they're going to just basically swarm him on double teams, and they have a lot of new athletic wings. You got LeBron out there, you got Rodney Hood, you got George Hill. I just feel like they're going to pester Aldridge where he has to move the ball, and then it's going to be, you know, which other Spurs player is going to beat you, which other two guys are going to step up, and I can't see San Antonio having a consistent answer right now. So I'm going to take Cleveland to that one just like you. So we both think the Spurs will go 1-1 here as of their next two games, and then I'll record SpursCast 483 after that. Okay. Thank you, SpursCast listeners, for tuning in to SpursCast episode 483. If you have any questions, continue to send them to hashtag SpursCast on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, follow us at Project Spurs, at AT League underscore NBA, at the SpursCast, and at Project Spurs Network. Online, visit us at projectspurs.com, analyzingtheleague.com, and projectspurs.net. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a rating and review. So for Michael DeLeon, I am Paul Garcia. Have a great day.